Beer Mirror from Diamond Ortiz segue us into the second episode of the Santa Barbara Public Library Coffee Break. Today I'm joined by my co-host Cassidy, as always.
Hello, my name's Cassidy Charles.
And today's special guest.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Christman, the Assistant Library Director.
And I will say that before I decided to go with Mirror Mirror by Diamond Ortiz, I was going to play the Yanni Laurel loop for about 5 seconds so everyone
can
just be inundated with the sound of what is Yanni to me, but is maybe Laurel to...
It's Yanni to me.
Okay.
It's definitely Yanni.
So we are 100% Yanni.
Yeah.
We don't eat pizza.
Team Yanni.
We don't eat pizza with a knife and fork. You know, we don't put ice cubes in our milk.
Don't
so
dip
we
fries
are.
If we hear Laurel, we want to hear from you.
There's a comment section in the SoundCloud or anywhere, Facebook. If you hear Laurel, why and what trauma afflicted you as a
young person? Yeah, please write in and tell me why you're wrong.
I am kind of curious because I did hear the pitch shifted. You mentioned earlier that you can hear various things, and then I saw the waveforms and the scientific high frequency, low frequency. But I go to a lot of concerts without earplugs, so I was just thinking that my high frequencies would be gone and I'd be Laurel City. But
And that's what I read too. I was trying to kind of go through the different like linguists and explaining it, and then kind of my eyes glossing over because they got into way too much scientific detail, but. I did read that maybe people with some sort of hearing damage would hear Laurel with like the lower frequencies. But, you know, we did that. We tested it. My husband himself has gone to many, many rock concerts and also heard Yanni pretty clearly.
Also Team Yanni. Excellent.
And also we brought in my five-year-old son who was like, you probably don't have any kind of hearing loss, so why don't you tell us? And he heard Yanni very clearly. So
because, a lot of the linguists online will say, oh, it's truly Laurel when they do the waveform comparisons. And I'm like, what planet? I mean, the only thing I'm really disturbed by more than that is the fact that everyone spells Yanni with a Y. I mean, does no one remember Yanni Live at the Acropolis, the musician? It's Yanni with an I. But notwithstanding.
I just can't believe we're gripped by another, internet
this
hitting
one,
against each other. Like this, the dress.
To me, this is worse than the dress because the dress had a physical component. Someone could be like, I have this dress. Here's what it looks like. This is a cyborg voice. I mean, there is no voice actor behind it that said, I was saying Laurel, I was saying Yanni. This is a generated, so there, I mean, truly, you could go down the wormhole and there might not be a definitive answer. I mean, you know.
I think the only one who wins from this are the linguists who've been, like, waiting for their chance to be featured
We're
in the media.
We're the cool kids on the internet.
They're doing the talk radio circuit, the podcast circuit, absolutely. Yeah. And
enjoy your 15 minutes, linguists everywhere.
And now I'm terrified for the day when I do lose my high frequency hearing. And I do hear Laurel, and I'm like, all this time I was wrong.
It's a very cheap test for your hearing, right?
I'll get on
readily
that.
Readily available.
All right, so we will be moving on to the next our next segment, which is upcoming events at the library. As always, we are busy and constantly throwing a multitude of events with various partners and with the library, hosting their own events. Next Tuesday, we have Tuesday Poets at the Library, hosted by Santa Barbara's Poet Laureate, Enid Osborne. We have Puri Longo, George H.S. Singer, and Nancy Lee, who will be reading their poetry. And this is an ongoing event we've been doing. We started it, it's been going on for a while, but I mean, April was Poetry Month?
Yeah.
So then we really ramped it up there. We did a teen poetry slam and things of that sort. So this is just a continuing event we do. So it's not just a specific thing we're doing in May or for International Poetry Month, but just an ongoing commitment we have. And our librarian, Jace, is very dedicated and committed to upholding the fine arts of this fair city. So Cassidy, any other events we should be aware of?
Yes, a whole calendar of them. But depending on when you hear this, we have two hiking and outdoors related events. So on May 17th, that's a Thursday night, we have a part of our regular hiking program. We have hiking the John Muir Trail and other Sierra wanderings from 6:30 to 8 in the Faulkner Gallery. And then a big event on May 23rd from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, we have Restoring Our Trails, a community update post-Thomas Fire and Debris Flows with the Santa Barbara County Trails Council. And this event, held 6:30 to 8 o'clock in the Faulkner, was actually rescheduled from an earlier time that we wanted to host them. But the organizing partner felt that they needed to get more organizations into the fold of this, what is going to be really a conversation from multiple perspectives about how we can go forward with the development of our trails. And I'll note that both of these events will be live streamed on our Facebook account, as well as probably some other additional outlets. So even if you're not able to attend either of the events, or you hear this a little bit later, they're saved.
So theoretically, physically, even without a Facebook account, we can still enjoy the live stream that will be coming next Wednesday, is it?
For the Trails Talk one, yeah.
Excellent. And then Black Panther this Friday, which is Friday the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So if you haven't seen Black Panther yet, which I have not, but I...
You might want to take that lunch break. Part of the lunch
break. Yeah, unfortunately, I will be working, so I will not be able to catch it, but I will do my best.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So on to the heart of the matter here, which is our picks for this episode. We decided on a theme before we started, dealing with Memorial Day traveling, summer vacation, travel planning. I know, Vanessa, you were doing some travel planning, you were saying. So.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I'm leaving in a few weeks now. Actually, about a month, and we're going to be going to Italy.
Have you been before?
When I was in college, a shamefully long time ago. But yeah, not only am I going, but I'm going with two young children as well.
Gosh.
So, you know, that's expert mode.
One child, I still have never taken my son on a plane because I'm just terrified of the prospect of it. But I think he's old enough now.
It's wonderful. I mean, so we did it last year with our sons too. And, you know, if they like watching unlimited TV and movies, mm-hmm. if you kind of restrict your screen time at home and it's just, you know, you have these nice ish chairs with kind of TVs, kids shows, programming. Yeah, I guess it depends on the airline, but most of them do that. And I think the plane ride was, at least my older son, it was his favorite part of the trip practically because he loves movies, so he was able to watch back to back to back to back.
Yeah, I guess I'm just kind of putting on how he acts at home, because at home you can watch for a little while, but then he gets antsy, he wants to run around, so yeah. I'm wondering if he'll just be running up and down the aisle while the flight attendants are like chasing him and he'll get like, you know, tackled by the air marshal.
Because I was on a cross-country flight and there were four kids under four behind me. You know, family's gotta travel too, but that was a very interesting ride, and I thought that the passenger next to me was not very happy about it, and we were going to end up on a viral video situation because she was not psyched. But it was a good trip.
And we try to time it well. I mean, we usually do flights around a little bit before dinner time, and so, you know, it's going to be their natural sleepy time. And then they have the distractions, lots of snacks, lots and lots of snacks. That's something. You can never have enough snacks, apparently. That's kind of my one parenting advice, everybody. Just, like, pack snacks. And, it worked out pretty well last time. The flight wasn't nearly as bad as standing at customs and waiting to go through there, because my younger son he was antsy from the trip, and he kind of, like, bolted through the customs line like he was like he was a Kool-Aid man or something, like, I'm here. And so that's when I thought, like, if there was any time that we were going to actually get, you know, like, arrested or shot on site, it was because of him
breaching the custom line.
Absolutely. But so that was the only kind of, like, hairy moment. And then my older son kind of stepping off the plane into another country where you don't speak the language and you don't necessarily understand the language, and that was last year in Spain, although thankfully I have, you know, somewhat working Spanish, although it was Barcelona, so it wasn't really Spanish. It was Catalan, which is a whole different world. So it was really, you know, it's one of those things where you're talking about, Cassidy, with seeing the kids. I mean, they don't learn unless they go.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, sometimes that's tough for other travelers. but there are ways around it with proper planning, I think.
I'm pretty desensitized to that already. We'll be at restaurants, and I'm just like, I don't see anybody giving me the death eye about my son.
Yeah.
And he just doing his thing, and, you know. But.
Well, and then you learn to pick the right restaurants to, like, lessen the likelihood, which is what exactly you do with travel planning. So I know my children. I know when to pick the flights. I know that kind of a small hotel room next to a bunch of other hotel rooms where they might be disruptive because they're both young boys who love to annoy one another. So that's why I pick generally, like, Airbnbs or vacation rentals where we have our own space and they have their ability to just be loud, obnoxious boys. And I specifically pick countries where I think they're more tolerant of poorly behaved children. So,
which should be universal at this point. I mean, I used to think, like, oh, but these children are always overbehaved. No, I've seen across the spectrum.
Just yeah.
Poor, you know. And I don't even think it's poor children. It's just children are more allowed to express themselves.
Well, so it was so funny. I was in Spain last year, and it was for St. George's or St. John's Eve. So it's like kind of a festival in kind of Catholic countries, and basically to celebrate the alleged birthday of Saint John the Baptist, which and so the way they celebrate it is they just have massive fireworks all night long, which is my kind of celebration. Yeah. Right. So it was in June. And I remember this memory will last forever. So we were walking on the boardwalk of this really adorable, you know, beach town in Spain. And so we see all the kids on the beach just setting off fireworks. And these are like legit fireworks. These are like bottle rockets. And these are kids from, I don't even think the teenagers were participating, like kids from like age 8 to 12 out there with bottle rockets that the parents are on the restaurants, you know, just watching them, bringing them out more carts of fireworks. And so, you know, and my older son's like, so I'm going to just go down there. I was like, no.
I'm excited. No, just not. Listening. So, I want to go now too.
Exactly. It was wonderful. I mean, it puts 4th of July to shame in terms of like fireworks. So it was like from, they started as soon as it got dusk and it went to like 3 a.m. I was insane and it was wonderful. And then it's like, well, they're letting their young children set off fireworks. So having my other child run around the boardwalk screaming, you know, and laughing, I don't feel any pressure about that.
Yeah. See, that's really nice. Yeah. It is good to find locations like that.
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. And then I feel like it kind of opens up new worlds to me. People are, you know, there's always a language barrier, but they see children. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that instant connection and that instant kind of like parental, like, oh, yeah, you know. We know you're struggling because you have all these kids around, so I'm going to be a little extra nice and tolerant. So that's what I found. I feel like it opens up more doors, even though it is more work and more preparation.
And you do stay Airbnb even abroad?
I mean, yeah, even abroad.
So it's pretty,
even
abroad, it's pretty or ubiquitous VR, where you get a good selection.
Yeah, VRBO or HomeAway. And because it's not only space, but I feel like cost effectiveness and also the ability to stay in smaller communities where they might not have the hotel stock. So, you know, I find a lot of places, I'm pretty selective with traveling, and I find a lot of places where the locals vacation. So you don't necessarily have a lot of hotels, but you have a lot of, you know, vacation rentals. So that's what in Spain, north of Barcelona, we stayed in Tamariu, which I am completely butchering that, I'm sure. But it was on the Costa Brava north of Barcelona, which it was just sleepy and gorgeous and wonderful. Like in your head, when you think like Mediterranean beach town, like that is, it, you know, like that's paradise. The archetype. It's wonderful. So I'm hooked, and I found that it was not nearly as troublesome as I thought, and it kind of opened up my kids' worlds in a way that I didn't anticipate it. They adjusted so well. I have a son. My 11-year-old is incredibly picky about food. He likes to keep to his routines. But, you know, even in Spain, he was, you know, he actually asked to try squid. Mm-hmm. I'd never thought, in what world is this? Who are you? Of course, he wanted to try to pack one of those big, like, ham legs back in his suitcase.
Oh,
yes, yeah. That's his favorite thing. So that's what he's like, is there ham in Italy? It's like, oh, son, you've entered the world of meat. You will be well taken care of.
Seasoned.
Yeah. So, yeah, this year it's Italy, and we have kind of, we have rented a villa. It sounds so fancy, but yes,
that's where, like I said, for hotels. I mean, when my son is in a hotel, it's just one room.
Yeah.
So he watches some TV, lays in the bed, and then he needs him to run around. Yeah. So he'll run down the hallways.
Exactly.
The villa or like Airbnb.
Well, and the thing for me, it's cost effectiveness. Not like I want to be fancy and away from all the touristic centers, but generally, I mean, the hotel rooms in Rome, this is cheaper than the hotel rooms in Rome, and it's about 3,000 square feet, which is way too much.
Holy cow, that is a villa.
Which is way too much space, but it's also kind of located right on a rail line, so you can just, you know, I don't have to drive. I'm not going to try to really drive anywhere unless I have to. So we could take the train up to Florence in Italy. It's kind of in Lazio State, right where Umbria and Tuscany kind of meet. So it's easy for me to get where I want to go and then kind of fulfill some of my nerdy interests for travel.
That's the thing. I only know Europe in such broad strokes that, I mean, in terms of planning a trip to Italy, an entire country, you know, to narrow it down. I mean, yeah, you know, Palermo, Sicily.
Yeah, it's daunting, and that's why I kind of mentioned my nerdy interests is that I generally have a reason for wanting to travel to an area. I'm a big I'm an archaeology buff. I was an archaeology major in college. It's kind of what I wanted to pursue. So I generally kind of indulge my interests in that. So you know, when it was in, you know, obviously Barcelona, beach towns and whatnot, but I was really interested in seeing some of the historical kind of Roman sites there. And then now in Italy, not only in, obviously, am I interested in seeing Roman sites, I'm really interested in the Etruscans, so kind of the predecessors of the Romans. And so where we're staying outside of Rome, a little bit north of Rome, is really kind of Etruria. It's kind of the heart of the Etruscan state. So I have all these archaeological sites I want to visit. A lot of these cities have undergrounds and ruins where you can kind of visit and see. And so I have it pretty much, it's Vanessa's Etruscan tour with you know, children and husband accompanying.
Have you been to the Seattle Underground?
No,
Seattle
I haven't.
Seattle has an underground too.
No.
And like it's a nice tour, yeah. But those kind of situations, I'm always in a, I mean, I'm not superstitious per se, but I do believe in ghosts, and I can kind of, you can kind of feel the air is cold. And
yeah.
But it was fun, and it was exciting. But
yeah, and that's why I kind of picked the villa. I was kind of going through Airbnb, and I saw one that was kind of built into the side of an old aqueduct, and it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, so it was, it's going to work out well. But I did a lot of, I am a planner for these types of trips, as you tend to have to be with children. And I also even my spare time, I do kind of hypothetical vacation planning. So if my next vacation, where would I go? What would I do? So I always have kind of like 2 or 3 years worth of like hypothetical vacations planned when I, you know.
Bullet points, contingencies.
Yeah, like, absolutely. Or even just folders in Airbnb or HomeAway or online or Google. And so, indulging my interest, working in a library has been incredibly important for me to develop this because, I mean, you have all these resources at your fingertips. You have travel books, if you want to, you have magazines, and so one of the resources that I'm really, really enjoying exploring is Hoopla. So it's one of our e-resources, in addition to what we have with Overdrive and others. And, you know, one thing I discovered when exploring Hoopla is that they have a fair amount of travel books. And travel books are really wonderful. It's good to kind of whet your appetite because they aren't really as comprehensive as doing your own online research. But the good thing about having it as an ebook is that, you know, you could flip to the section that you want and read it without having to lug around a big travel book. And they have, you know, Boaters, Frommer's, Lonely Planet. You know, you don't have to check out each one individually. You just have access to all of them pretty much simultaneously. So it will help you your travel planning. And I like with Hoopla is that, you know, you have 10, you know, checkouts allowed per month. You don't have to kind of wait in a holds line or holds queue like you would necessarily for Overdrive, which has its own fair share of really wonderful resources. And so, yeah, I've been really taking advantage of everything the library has to offer to help guide my travel planning.
Yeah, when I'm at the desk, I always call Hoopla like our Netflix or something because it has the movies, music.
Oh, yeah, it does.
But it has the ebooks and audiobooks actually puts it above Netflix. It's almost like our Amazon when it was just a bookstore or something like that. But it is pretty comprehensive, and it is nice that because all the titles they have are all the titles they have, you never have to wait. You can get whatever you want. It's almost easier for folks that are just starting with ebooks and audiobooks and just electronic media in general to be able to dive in, search for something, and use it right away. Whereas with something like Overdrive, sometimes you might have to wait a little bit or the first time you have to put something on hold, it can be a little, unsettling. But it always comes to you eventually. So if you're a patient person, I would say Overdrive gives you exactly what you want, and we build that collection. But with Hoopla, you can kind of just dabble. But like you said, it's comprehensive as well. They have a pretty good selection.
And Hoopla has made a lot of really nice developments. And even really just the last year, they have graphic novels. So they have Marvel titles, like Black Panther, we mentioned earlier, which I never thought I would see Marvel going into Hoopla. And last week we got news that the Criterion films are going to be available in Hoopla, which I also just never thought that was going to happen. So you can start searching for Criterion titles in there.
And something to kind of go back, I'm going to jump back to Overdrive too, which has just an incredible amount of content too, especially the e-audiobooks, which I love so much. One thing I did learn along the lines of, I was talking about my nerdy interests and my research and whatnot. The great courses are on, how long have they been on Overdrive? I saw some sort of note about that they were being added to Overdrive. And if you don't know, the great courses are, it's kind of an outside educational company where they have professors, really well-respected, regarded professors, presenting on a variety of topics. So you have essentially like you would be sitting through a course at a college, only a little bit, I would say probably a little bit more engaging because because they're being videotaped. And so it's the audio from those great courses. So you could get, a 16-hour lecture on, the Etruscan, all the Etruscan states, hypothetically speaking, for, you could check that out from Overdrive, and you have so much incredible content, which if you were to actually want to take the great course yourself, I mean, that's $800-$900 savings you get, and you get the audio from it for free from the library.
And I know we used to have some of the great courses here, but that was when back on cassette. We had them on cassette, and they were excellent. People always checked them out. But yeah, as that collection
we have a select few still available, and they're just, it's opening up the box and then remembering where all of the pieces are. And with Overdrive and all of our e-resources, as long as you don't lose your phone or your mobile device, it's right there for you.
Yes, Hoopla.
Hoopla.
Take advantage of
Overdrive. Yeah, and that's in what I do when I do my travel planning is I try to obviously have kind of the informational resources, but I like to try to kind of feel what it's going to be like to be kind of immersed in that location, and then I will go back and forth on Overdrive specifically to find kind of the fiction to support. So going to Italy, you're looking for all sorts of really fantastic books. I found one. Alexander McCall Smith, and it's kind of a charming book called My Italian Bulldozer, which it was kind of an interesting title, but it's basically somebody who is traveling to stay in that region of Italy, and can't get a rental car and has to rent a bulldozer to get around everywhere, and like hijinks ensue.
I imagine the roads look a little narrow at times.
Yeah, so it was really interesting. So you get kind of that color and that sense of what it would be like, obviously. Real life is a little bit different than fiction, but you get the takes of people who traveled there, and so it's been fun to kind of go back and forth between doing the actual like research with travel books and then reading the fiction to get me in the mood and get me really excited about traveling. And I think you can do that with practically any location you're interested in with a combination of our library resources.
Yes, absolutely. I would say the fiction does a good job of not only having a good narrative setting using places, but the emotional, authors try to capture the emotional feeling of like when they go to an area or feel an area, like you can definitely kind of
the little nuances, even with interacting with people.
Yeah, and I this was kind of more of like a creative nonfiction book, but it was about essentially the evolution of the Italian language and some of the idioms and sayings and how it kind of relates to personalities. It was like La Bella Lingua, which was a really fantastic book that I found, I believe, on Overdrive, and I really kind of do a deep dive into wherever I'm going to go in order to be fully prepared and just really excited for it. And I think the library's been a fantastic place to motivate my traveling.
Do you have any idea what's after Spain?
Yeah, I do. Of course,
sure. Which folder?
I do. It's my next folder. It's Asturias, Spain. So it's kind of.
Hong's face.
So, Hong's little face. So it's going to be, in my head, it's going to be maybe a three-part. I really am obsessed with kind of the Basque country of Spain. And so Bilbao, that looks really interesting, really beautiful, kind of the Atlantic, northern, Atlantic coast of Spain. But also there's an area called Asturias, which is kind of south of that. That's supposed to be just unbelievably beautiful because it's got a mountain range, really nice beaches. And then continuing down to go to Porto, Portugal, and go back to Lisbon. A few years ago, we went to Lisbon. I took my husband on a trip for his kind of monumental birthday, and we went to Lisbon and traveled around Portugal. And I think we've decided that's where we want to retire one of these days when I get there in like 20 years. So, and it's unbelievably beautiful. I always pick places. And I did find a book about Italian wine on Hoopla as well, the Echo Wine Book of Italian Regions, which helped me look forward to what I'm going to be drinking when I'm there as well. So, so that's after that. And then I've got all hosts of backup trips as well. And I am planned.
I had two college roommates from Portugal, and they would never stop singing the praises of how wonderful, how lovely.
Oh, it's amazing.
I visited the parents and got to eat Portuguese cuisine, which was amazing.
It's so good. And it's really reasonably priced wherever you travel. Lisbon is gorgeous. I mean, I have never – basically think of San Francisco with the climate of San Diego because it's up on the hills. Oh, I mean, like a 16th century San Francisco. Francisco, up on the hills, have the cable cars. They even have a bridge that's essentially the replica of the Golden Gate Bridge. Food is wonderful. The people are very, very friendly, very helpful. Wine regions, the Atlantic coast. I mean, I could talk on and on about Portugal. I was completely in love with it. So I will sing its praises. So if you want to go, they love children. You can plan a trip.
I might have to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah. And then I do a fair amount of traveling up and down California as well, as I've kind of lived and worked in a lot of places. So, you know, kind of reading and kind of researching some of, you know, I think California history itself should be, you know, its own HBO series because of just all of the really unique episodes that have gone on in the history of our state. So I think even just traveling within the state and all of the really interesting, diverse places you can go, you know, we've got resources.
Have you ever been to the Basque restaurants in Bakersfield?
Yes, of course I have. I grew up in Bakersfield, although I don't think it has a lot of connection to Basque, you know, the Basque food, you know, in, you know, it's more kind of like the tapas. But the Central Valley Basque restaurants are, they call it the setup, right? You're familiar with it where, you know, you get there, you have an entree that you order. And I think maybe the only connect, well, and they give you the setup, which is, spaghetti, a bean salad, cabbage soup, fried chicken, basically these just kind of a hodgepodge.
Giant jug of wine if you want it.
two giant jugs of wine. You can get your picon before you go in there, which is a drink.
I like that it's a jug and not is literally no other vessel.
Nameless, labelless.
Yeah, so it's more about, you know, kind of it's more about like the immigrant culture than it is really about having that connection to the homeland, but it's fantastic, and it's truly an experience.
It was such a homely experience.
Yeah, you know, that's you know, I think people looked at me strange, and it's like, oh, I know Santa Barbara, I'm from Bakersfield.
Yeah.
Like, what does that connection have to do with anything? It's like, no, we travel here. My father went to school at San Luis Obispo. I mean, this was our summer, speaking of summer traveling, was going up and down this coastline, getting to know it, and I think we all, Central Valley folks have a big affinity for the Central Coast. It's like our second home. So.
Makes sense. Yeah,
it's not bad.
Oh, wow.
It's not bad.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And now I definitely should try to go to Europe.
Yeah. Well, and I know some tricks for cheaper.
I'll talk to you all about that. I will be consulting
yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, so I will go next. I, like I said, never left the continent. I've been in Canada, been to Mexico. But I did do two road trips. College. Mm-hmm. I was like, when I did the road trip, I was just like, oh yeah, I'll just do this all the time. And like, why don't more people do road trips all the time? Then I realized,
no,
yeah,
no,
it doesn't happen. But yes, those two road trips had a very profound effect on me and the friends I went with, multiple weeks at a time.
Delightful.
And the thing about it was 2001 and 2003, so this is turn of the century. I mean,
turn of the century.
Google Maps did not exist.
The old
Google Maps. We didn't have a GPS. We had one of those giant map books. So it was.
You were barefoot in the snow when you were.
15 miles both ways. But I mean, even getting directions, it was MapQuest. I would have to go, and at the time, you know, I had just bought a laptop with Wi-Fi. So I have Wi-Fi because I got Wi-Fi at my house like the summer before, and I was like, oh yeah, we'll just go to coffee shops, use the internet, we can look up stuff. Coffee shops did not
internet
have Wi-Fi.
Cafes.
No.
Yeah, internet cafes were not that common.
No.
So it was, I mean, there wasn't even Yelp back then. I mean, I used to use City Search. It was
like, yeah.
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 So I was always, you know, so. Yeah, but I guess in a sense, Yelp is not really necessarily like, it's like people always like the theoretical best of things.
Yeah, you have to really, you have
I'm
to really.
I'm not a Yelper.
Yeah.
I look just to get a sense, and then you have to like read the reviews.
I pretty much browse the pictures now.
Yeah,
because some of the Yelpers are, it's so, they have their own, the meta narrative, you know?
Yeah.
Some of the Yelpers are like on the side where they have these long
narratives. Oh, God, yeah.
But then the surly Yelpers are the ones. I don't mind the Yelp comedians because they're funny, they're insightful.
Yeah.
The surly Yelpers are like, the fork was in the wrong place. 3 stars.
It's like I love the food. It was wonderful. It was great. They forgot to refill my Diet Coke. 1 star.
I hope people at this point know the collateral damage that the stars do.
Yeah.
You know, and if they see like the 3 stars.
And
I used to
do reviews on Yelp, and I would only review it if it was exceptional because I wanted to benefit an organization and not detract from it, even if it was bad service. I wouldn't do that just because of the collateral damage to these organizations. Because sometimes you just have a bad day, and that's fine. But and people don't approach it like that at all.
Because I mean, I don't want to tell everyone how to do their job. I don't have a Facebook or anything like that. My social media presence is nil. So I know nothing about this, but I would just say like.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting, but yeah, definitely. And I think there is something to kind of connecting with the locals and getting that word of mouth. Because, you know, when you're traveling in, you know, European countries and whatnot, you know, access to the internet, you know, your own like transferability of your phone and Wi-Fi and whatnot. That's something that I had to try to navigate. I ordered a phone. I ordered like a Dutch SIM card.
You had a burner phone.
Yeah. Oh, no.
The story begins.
I needed my other phone to translate, you know, to try to. And so, you know, even just like the availability. So being able to feel comfortable enough to approach somebody to be like, you know, where would you eat? Or is this good? Or what would you recommend? So I think that's a really good skill you learned with that early, that the aughts.
And that was where on a road trip as a Californian, you'd be surprised how many folks are like, you're from California at the moment, you know, like, and then they start talking, do you surf? And it's like, yes, I surf
yes,
all the time.
No,
not exactly. But,
clearly I surf.
But it was nice because it was the first time I'd ever been to the South. So
yeah. You went like kind of the, so as you cross country,
yeah,
you
I,
went
I,
then southern
I
route.
I took the 10 and took it from California all the way to Florida.
So what were some of your memorable stops in the South?
By far, well, we broke down in Texas.
Okay.
So there was, and it was funny because we did have AAA. So we called AAA while we were broken down. And uh-huh. then they said, oh, we're coming on our way. And then a truck pulls up and the person's like, oh, you're broken down. Let me just take you to the next spot. We thought it was a tow driver. And then we get a call once we're at the hotel that he pushed us to with his truck.
Aww.
That it was not the tow driver, it was just some random person that was just helping us.
Yeah.
So it was when I really first learned about Southern hospitality. At the same time, they were very nice.
Yeah.
And everyone was.
It's funny because my husband has some stories like that because he went to library school in the South. He went to Southern Miss. And, you know, he's got this like long, curly hair coming from like the Bay Area, California. And kind of just all these stories about like culture clash, but hospitality. But he remembers he would kind of walk down the street. And apparently people in that Southern town weren't accustomed to seeing people with like men with long, curly hair. So he would get yelled out, but not like, you know, they assumed he was in a band because they just like anybody they seen is like in a Southern rock band. So like, I saw your show, you're so good. So he was telling me stories about that. So it's interesting to get that, even, you know, that, you know, the learning about different cultures, even within your own country. I think it's so interesting.
Southern, I've tried to order biscuits and gravy here. And
yeah, there's,
the
yeah,
same
there's no.
As Tennessee.
Yeah, same with my husband is talking about, like, he's
yeah.
like, I can't.
You almost need the seasoning of a cast iron,
yes.
you know, the right pool of oil. Yeah.
You can tell this podcast is before lunch. Now we're getting hungry.
Well, no, I'll say whenever being newer to California, I always rely on Hong for my food recommendations and places to eat in a way that I know I was just eschewing Yelp, but Hong has eaten or been to like everywhere.
But
in
I
California.
Do,
he's human Yelp.
I do always have the caveat that I have no taste, so
eat
I've never had a bad meal. Like I've been to a lot of places, but I've never been somewhere. Oh, don't go there, but go there. I'm like, well, I've been here, 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 and here, and here, and you can try them all.
Well, and you gave me kind of like the life hack, like so order an extra thing here for another dollar.
That I do
and then
know
you could
about.
Do that, and then it's like, oh. Yes. Maximize your meal here. That's
I can maximize value for sure, but
yeah.
I cannot tell you if something tastes good or not because I, yeah, as someone who first job was at a Wiener Schnitzel and grew up on a steady diet of various
Southern California diet, right?
foods in various states of duress. Let's put it that way.
Oh
that so there are times that I like because I still remember the first time my wife took me to a restaurant where they didn't have the prices on the menu, and I was like, "What chicanery is this? I don't. You wouldn't sign a contract without knowing all the details. Why am I trying to order this hanger steak when it could cost me $50?"
Yeah, that was my dad's pretty much thing. It's like, you know, I what is that old saying? Like, you know, if you don't know, don't ask, or something like that. Like,
you don't have to ask, you can't.
Yeah, if you have to ask, you can't afford it. And so that was, that's insane. Yikes. Or market price, like what is that?
Yeah,
even?
We should not be keeping secrets from each other during a business transaction. So yes. My pick.
What
was
your pick in
this,
man?
While I was driving to the South, because Walker Percy, I read the movie Gar when I was in school.
Okay.
And then so I went down a Walker Percy wormhole. He's a Southern author.
Very
grew up in the area.
Name,
yes,
Percy,
and I will not go into the details because we have a person on staff, Jeremy, who specialty was authors from the South. So I will defer to any queries to Jeremy. So
look
but
forward to having him on a future.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
But I love Walker Percy, Jeremy. And so I read the movie Gover, and then I read a book called The Last Gentleman. And while we were in the car, because you have so many hours to kill while you're driving, then you have like 5 hours of driving. And fortunately, I was a terrible driver at the time, so they never asked me to drive. I mean, I did volunteer, but they said no. I mean, I was really a bad driver. I probably would have gotten killed. But so I was always in the back, either napping or reading. so I read The Second Coming while I was in the South, and it's still Bill Barrett from The Last Gentleman, but he's older now. The Second Coming by Walker Percy.
I have a handful of picks. Kind of. Well, we'll see. I read graphic novels. I am also the person who develops the graphic novel collection for the library. So that's something that I enjoy. And I've always found that with graphic novels, we might think of the Marvel titles I mentioned earlier on Hoopla, but there's all these other wonderful genres in graphic novels that lend themselves well to that format. So I really gravitate towards the autobiographical memoirs and also travel logs. And it's especially wonderful when you find one that was both the writer and the illustrator are the same person. So I specifically think of Lucy Kinsley, who's, I might not be saying her name right. It's, I never know if it's a like silent K.
I think it's K-N-I-S-L-E-Y.
Exactly. Kinsley. But her materials, several of her materials are available on Hoopla. She is a writer, illustrator for them. And she's been to France. She's also cataloged these wonderful ones with traveling with her grandparents. So getting that sense of like what's it like to travel with your, at that point, significantly older relatives. And so it's got her earlier work focused on her traveling as a younger woman. And now she's an older woman. Well, I shouldn't say that. She's not that much older. But traveling with her aging grandparents. And even now she had a baby in the last year. So I kind of wonder, now she documents her life with her younger son. But I like her work. And another one that I found on Hoopla was by the popular children's book author Mo Willems. I didn't know about this one until I was researching for this. But he wrote one called You Can Never Find a Rickshaw When It Monsoons. And it documents in a cartoon-a-day format his travels over the course of a year. This was like, I think he published it in like the early 90s. Oh, so okay. It's even before his like astronomical.
Nice, yeah.
And I did read French Milk from Lucy Nisley, I guess we'll
Kinsley,
go with. But
yeah.
Yeah. But I thought that was great because what she did was she would take photographs. Mm-hmm. And she would insert little bits of art into the photographs. And I always love mixed media stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it was an excellent book. Book? Comic book? Oh, yeah.
We'll debate that on another podcast.
That's a whole other podcast.
Team comic book. Team Yanni. never forget. But yes. So I guess that wraps up another episode of the Santa Barbara Public Library Coffee Break, as it were. Thanks again to Vanessa for joining us
this
week.
You're welcome.
And then to co-host Cassidy as well.
And if you have any comments or suggestions
travel
or things
books,
that you would like to hear.
Italy recommendations. I'm leaving soon. Love to hear
how
from
soon?
You.
Yes, because
I'm leaving, I think, June 16th. So, yeah. Central Italy, if you have any ideas, let me know.
And find us on Facebook.
Yeah. I'll take pictures of my library card at various sites. And
traveling
send them
library
to you guys.
Card.
Because Santa Barbara is like the Riviera. We do get a lot of Italians. You know, Europeans in the community.
Yeah.
So I'm sure somebody has some.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of really well-traveled folks here.
Let us know in the comments or contact us, Facebook, Instagram, anywhere you can find. Let Vanessa know
where should Vanessa go.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Take care.
Good afternoon.